Disgusting. Well, you know,
remember Tyke? Lives next door to Mom?
Yeah.
Okay. 2 weeks ago, I'm watching TV, and David Horowitz is going to have this former car radio thief on.
To boyfriend?
Yeah, our ex-boyfriend, Mike. He's the one that stole Victor's radio.
I don't know.
Well, because, well, he was a cocaine addict, so he's talking about, you know, he's, yeah, man, he's going to show us, you know, how not to, to protect your car, not to get it, you know, ripped off, man, because, you know, I was into it. Let me show you how easy it was. He's actually pretty intelligent, you know, just uneducated. So, yeah, Victor's radio, it was broken. We were going to take it out and send it back to the factory to get a new factory radio. We never got a chance because the back window was broken and they stole the radio. And you can't send something back to the factory that isn't there anymore, right? So he never got his radio. So he got another radio this summer, but of course that got ripped off also. But never mind.
He's having bad luck with that car. What is this?
I don't know.
So it's obvious now that this was the one who stole pictures. I mean, nobody came out and told you, guess what?
Oh, we knew. We knew. We figured it had to be Michael. So Mom didn't want me to... We had to go see Jan last Sunday at her house for dinner, or breakfast. And Mom said, you know, don't bring it up to Linda. Don't tell her about Mike. So I that's like waving a red flag.
You know, it's all tight. Did you see Mike on TV?
Did she?
Yeah.
She said they were sitting there watching TV, and the next thing she know, there's Mike on TV. And she goes, whoa. And of course, John, who's just as bad, is sitting there going, oh, did you see Mike, your ex-boyfriend? But he's no better. He does other goofy things.
Goofy!
Yeah.
Grift! Goofy!
I know.
Sleepy!
Stealing cars. But, you know, it's okay. At least it's not car radios. It's the whole car.
The whole car! Go big and I'll go home. Shoot.
I know. Oh, it's amazing. No, Jan talked the whole time. And it was like this! Hello! So happy to see you! We're going... God! Turn the volume down. Let me out of here. I kept looking over to her and she's going. She didn't want to go. And I said, Mom, we got to go. So we never have to go again, right? So, well, at least we had a good time Saturday. We went to see Oba Oba. You know, Ruben loved
it. Oba Oba, what do you call it?
Oba Oba? He called it Oho Oho. They came and grabbed everybody and got you dancing in the aisles. And they were just nice people. They were really happy to be doing it. One of the male athletes were incredible, but one of the guys, his entrance on the stage is he comes sliding across on his head. Victor, of course, looks over at me and goes, I couldn't do that, Steve. Otherwise, I'd have no hair left. But there was hardly anybody there. It was the matinee. This place was completely empty.
Really?
That's why Marcia and Jim could get up and move. They thrive. They feed off of all these. The friend that was there with them is this older guy with this young chick.
And she was like a real pill. You know, she's sitting there with his hair pulled back in a little ponytail. And she's like sitting there. And he said, I would have been here, but she was so late. And getting her any place on time, she's like, I had to get ready.
I don't know why. Nothing was going to help her. No makeup, no nothing, because she's the little girl. And he's the older man, and she's taking care of me.
God, it sounds like the tape I made last night. And these guys start talking about, you know, some... You know, she's so vulnerable. She's probably like 26, and she looks 13, and it's just so... It's like, what is this? And we're like, you know, it's the butterfly. You can't...
Give me a break. Give me a break. This stupid little bitch. She just married Daddy to take care of her. They all live down, like, in Del Mar. Super ritzy area.
I know. What about,
What?
The other D-Pone on this world.
Oh, D-D? Oh, God. Well, like, did I tell you about when Mom was having an issue over for lunch, finally? Okay, well, Mom, they call up in August and go, I mean, Daddy's been dead, what, 7 years, and finally dawns on Isabel that she doesn't see Mom that much. Well, it's because she never calls her, right? So Mom, she says, I feel like you've got a whole other world outside of us, like you don't even need us, I mean, that you have a whole other life. Mom said, I do. Well, you've heard my
feelings. Maybe she's just kind of dense, huh?
Well, she wants everything on her terms.
She's vicious or dense?
She's a dope.
So, explains that.
Exactly. So, Mom said, you know, she goes, when can I see you? So Mom said, well, my next free day is like October 4th. So that was when they set up 2 months in advance to have lunch. So October 4th rolls around and Dee Dee had to go do something, so they're stuck babysitting Francisco. Great. You know, just your big thrill in the world. She piss ass. 4 or 5, someplace around there. I can't remember ever because it's just, she's such a nightmare to me. So anyway, Mom had to cancel. They make arrangements for like a couple weeks later. And I wanted to surprise Mom and bring over some nice pastries from La Conversation. So I went to La Conversation and I picked out all the stuff for Uncle Raymond. And it was just supposed to be Mom, Reuben, and Isabel. And I was going to sit down and talk with them and split. So I'm driving up to the house and there's a car in front of me. And the guy is just like sitting there in the middle of the road and he's not moving. And you know, I want to park the car. You know, and there's no parking either on one of those sides because it's street sweeping day or something. It's like, would you move so I can come park my car? And then I realized it's Dee Dee and Emilio. And there's jumping around outside the car. So it turns out that she wouldn't get out of the car without even an Isabel. So Dee Dee and Emilio followed them over there to pick up her kids and take her for a day in the park. But then Dee Dee wanted Emilio to see Mom's house. So they go barging in on her. So Mom felt obligated to ask those two idiots to lunch. Also, thereby having to invite dear Francisco, who he did not want there in the first place because she's such a little piss ass. So the first thing, I get inside the house, and there's Francisco jumping up and down. Jump, 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 jump. And I grabbed her and I held her down and I go, listen, you little piss ass, this is my house, and today you are not going to jump. Today you're going to act like a human. You got that? She just looks at me and she kind of nods her head. She's going, ah, shit, Auntie Lisa's here again. I am leaving. So she wants to go on the balcony. I grab her again. I go, no kids on the balcony. You want to go outside? You go downstairs, but you're not going out on the balcony. Because knowing you, you're going to fall off.
Oh, wouldn't that be a pity?
Oh, I know. So in front of her initial, of course, I said, you want to play one bounce off the balcony? But Auntie didn't laugh. A little shit. She wouldn't eat her lunch because she wanted dessert. Dessert comes around. Mom had cut all the pastries in half. Francisco takes 5 of them. She took a bite from each one. That was it.
I didn't want any anymore.
She gets away with it.
Gets away with it. She was taking the silverware and digging it into the table.
Oh, that's cute.
So, excuse me, Francisco? You want to try that one more
museum? Could you please chill out in the artwork here?
So try it again. One more time. I'm going to come over there. I'm going to take that and I'm going to dig it into you. And meanwhile,
maybe she wants to go outside again. I said, yeah, it's a good spot for her.
Emilio had on white shoes.
I don't care
if he's Italian.
I don't care. That was the ugliest set of shoes I ever saw in my life. One of the kids at work said, fun Lisa doesn't count unless he had a white belt. And he did! I don't care if it's a white suit. Put something else. He had on a white suit. He had on a black suit. And then he stands there and tells her how it's not needs to be baggier. And they're analyzed. They're so superficial.
He has a restaurant or something? Or what does he do?
He's a waiter. He's a waiter at Rosa's out there in Ontario, which is a very nice restaurant, I'm sure. But he wants to open his own restaurant someday, and he thinks we're going to finance it.
I actually think it's Kathy and Jawaharlal or Gregory is because they're the wealthy
ones. I try
ones.
To explain to Kathy that life had changed now for her and that there were going to be all sorts of parasitic relatives, distant or
like Gregory,
coming up and saying...
Did she tell you about Gregory?
Yes. Trying to get him a job.
Oh, yeah. Well, then, see, that's another thing.
She doesn't understand it. Well,
Tommy,
why? Kathy, don't you understand that, you know, things are different now? You have this... mega house and you know you have this you know,
but they kind of thrive on that. They like having people having to owe that's part of the reason they're not burning their bridges, right?
So to where is great.
Is that hilarious? That's typical DuBois. He is so funny. But my husband, not you, professor. No, for the stupid New Year's Eve party then, Tommy Minot, who's up there, who was Greg and Lauren's best friend, right? He opens his big mouth to Gregory that Kathy and Jawahar are having this party. So Kathy calls me up and she wants Gregory's address. And I go, for what? She goes, well, we have to invite him to the New Year's Eve party. I go, why? She goes, well, Tommy wanted to open his big mouth. And I said, oh, so you're going to host them, are you? She goes, what do you mean host them? I said, if you invite them up there for a party, they're going to assume that they're staying with you, right? goes, no, you're not. And I said, well, that's what they're going to think. And I said, if you invite them, you also have to invite Dee Dee and Amelia. You want them staying at the house, too? So next thing you know, they dropped, at least that bridge, they weren't too unhappy about burning.
Oh, God.
But Keith and Sally, those two drips, the one that told me I was shoveling my food and I didn't need a fork, they're friends with this other friend of theirs, and they're trying to, that they don't talk to anymore. And I mean, Campbell's a cocaine user, abuser, dealer. That's all he does. Gabe's a lawyer. You know, he's just no good. So they're trying to, you know, have them be friends again. Well, what for, Kathy? Why are you going to go? They were going to go to this dinner party Saturday night to see them. Well, what are you going to do that for? Who cares?
Does she have any friends, you think?
No. No.
Why?
Kathy, she's not a good friend herself.
Dwar is a really nice guy.
He is, but he doesn't understand how to mix friends at all. We already went through that. When I first got back from Italy and I was up there, we were friends with this one Australian guy. And he was friends with this other idiot from New Zealand, Dennis. And one night he figured, oh, both part of the same world, you know, New Zealand, Australia. So he invited Dr. Spargo out with Dennis. Well, I didn't get along with Dennis at all. He was a jerk. I did not like him, period. And Spargo was okay. And we go out, we went out, and these guys, they were at each other's throats the whole night long. Competition galore.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Each one was fighting for our affections. That was very apparent. I knew that was going to happen. Plus, they didn't like each other. Spargo was older, you know, and he was real bright, and he knew that this guy was a jerk. If we went to parties and there was somebody who came up to try to talk to us, he'd keep him away. He's just like a little Australian sheepdog running around. All his protective stuff going on. It was a lot of fun. Whoops. I'm sorry, it knocked me off. But Kathy and Jawahar don't understand how to mix their friends at all. They don't understand that it's also okay not to have everybody at the same party.
Is she working or doing anything?
No, she works for Jawahar, but yeah, I know. So then,
what does this mean?
Well, she answers phones.
She said she wanted to go out to school or something, or do something with her life, or she's too into computers.
They're boring. Aren't they boring? They're so boring. I mean, it's like, who cares? No offense, but I think that you can get caught up in computers, like, within, what, 5 weeks or something? You gotta sit there and, you know, oh.
You space on it. She's, like, talking about ROM and RAM and, you know, she's passionate about it. I'm like, I can't relate. Leave me alone. I can't relate at all.
I don't care. I really don't care. This party I went to Friday night where Joy was jamming on that harmonica. That's absolutely, well, first of all, it's Paddlers. And I thought, oh, it's going to be boring. I don't want to go. Victor wouldn't go. He said, I'm working late. You go if you want. Okay, sweets. I'll go if I want. And I don't, Joy I like because she's really interesting. But a lot of those other paddlers are idiots. I did not want to go. So I walk in. She's changing apartment. She's moving into her own condo. I walk in, and the first hint that this is going to be something a little bit unusual is there's all these helium balloons up at the ceiling with metallic colored streamers coming down, three streamers, each balloon. I mean, the whole ceiling is packed with these helium balloons. It was so much fun. So I walk in, and I see two of the paddlers I definitely don't want to see, one of which had a Halloween party. I told her we're coming. We show up. She'd already left for another party. So why the hell didn't you tell me you were leaving? Oh, well, I thought you'd, you know, I didn't think you were coming. I said, if I say I'm showing up, I show up. We had to go someplace for Victor's work first. You know, the Wonder Years, where I got insulted by this other little assistant twat who since has been fired, thank God. But anyway, then, you know, we showed up there and they were all gone. That really irritated me. You know? What do you mean? Yes, I'm having a party coming and you show up and there's nobody there. Anyway, she's sitting there and this other girl who's out like, nye, nye, nye. So I have this pair of suede pants that I got. You've seen them probably 90 million times. I got those from Saks Fifth Off. They're men's. You know, there's nothing great about those pants. And they're filthy and there's parts in them, you know, where, I mean, they use substandard stuff, so there's, you know, these goofy little white spots and everything. And they're going, oh, Lucy, you look so chic in your suede pants. And I'm going, oh, yeah, real chic. You know, my hair's dirty. I have it pulled back in a ponytail. I knew I look lovely. So I'm sitting there talking to these idiots for a while. Then this new wave of people comes in. And these three guys walk in, and one guy was so geeky, he's in a suit. Who the hell do you know goes to a party in a suit? But who is this geek? So anyway, the other guy had a real nice shirt on, and there was some other geek. So the guy with the nice shirt came in and started talking to me. His name's like Billy Mulholland or something, and he's from Bakersfield originally, and Joy's father had hired him to sell, or Joy had actually hired him to sell jewelry in Hawaii from her father's store. But now he sells real estate in Malibu, and he's got a painting contracting, whatever, and one of the things that they're doing is painting this building on Melrose, so it looks like you can see through the wall, because there's, you know, plastic first, and then this stuff behind it, or whatever it is. But his renditions of homosexuals, I thought I was going to die. I hadn't, you know, I just looked at him. He was going on and on about how these guys, his workers, he's down there supervising work, and he looks out, and these guys, and he starts talking about their G-strings are showing through their tight leather pants, and he's just going on and on and on, and I was getting hysterical. I was laughing so hard, and I just finally looked at him, and I said, hey, I never even thought about it, because I grew up in the Swiss Alps. You know, we have been here our whole lives, and so I never knew anybody was in the closet, because as far as I'm concerned, they've always been out of the closet. Well, he couldn't handle this, that I actually knew gay people. He walked away from me. So, the next guy that comes up and starts talking to me is the guy in the suit, and turns out he's from Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, and he's talking away to me, and his name is Dr. And I said, oh, like doctor? And he goes, exactly right. He's a thoracic surgeon or some horse manure. But meanwhile, it's like this right here in my face. And I kept backing up. And he's right here in my face. And he keeps staring at my chest. And it's like, you know, fuck you, asshole. Why don't you look at my face? But he didn't believe me I was married. I kept he's talking about how we should carry on a conversation later. And I'm going, no, no. I said, you know, I really don't think my husband would appreciate that. I said, you know, it's a little difficult having three in the same bedroom. You know, at least that's not my shtick. But he didn't believe me that I was married. He thought I was giving him the brush off. That's cool. So they had their other friend come over and meet me, who's a lawyer. It's really bizarre because I guessed all of their ages, and they're like blown away. I said, well, that's what happens when you're this elderly age. But meanwhile, it had walked these two really kind of scruffy-looking guys. You know, not because these guys were all like, you know, Mr. Hip. And here comes these two other guys. One's a black guy. And one's this white guy with this beard. He's got like a Lorimar sweatshirt on. So I'm sitting there. The
Lorimar.
DR kept trying to talk to me.
DR?
Know. DR doctor. He's a doctor. But that's all he gives name for. But he's had an interesting command of the English language, because all double entendres, you know, but if you didn't understand your English, you didn't understand what he was saying. So he was actually a lot of fun to talk to. I had a good time with him. That's actually even how we even started talking. And he started talking to one of the other paddlers who's probably going through a divorce this year. And he used the same lines on her, and she didn't get it.
Oh, well.
So, you know, he was, like, really bored and left. But anyway, I started talking to the black guy when DR walked off. And, you know, all of a sudden you're realizing this guy's stringing sentences, complicated sentences together. And he knows what you're talking about, and he's dropping literary terms and names, and you're kind of going, where are you from? He's a army brat, and he speaks fluent German. He's lived in about 30 places. And I said, God, you know, that must have really made you, you know, you must have a good time at making new friends. It's easy for you. And he said, oh, yeah, he had that. But also what it had done is it caused him to be introverted, so he read a lot when he was a kid. So he's really self-taught, and, you know, kind of one of the things he did was he kind of took up the guitar at 12. Now he's 35. You ought to hear that guy on the guitar. He's absolutely amazing. The guy with the beard was his good buddy. They both work for the phone company. The guy with the beard must be about 6'4", 6'5". And he got his first degree in fire science. His mother was 48 when he was born. His father was 51. They died when he was 13. He graduated from high school early, went through fire science major at UCLA. I forgot, the people from the West Side do that a lot. They go through this stupid fire science major out at UCLA, become firemen. And now he works for the phone company, and he's going to be a microwave engineer. He's going to CSUN because it's the only place he can go at night.
Wow.
Brilliant. He's been there since 1980. I'm sitting there, you know, he's like 35 now, talking to him. He had a big old hickey here. He told me he was going to another party. He said, oh, you want a matching set? The black guy laughed. Oh, you noticed. I said, yeah, term limits don't hide everything. But the black guy's father works with the CIA.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, he set up, so the black guy set up all the phones during the Olympics, and he was the best light guy out there at the Olympics, or, you know, he had special coverage and special protection and everything.
Wow.
But they were so much fun to talk to. I had a ball. I ended up, you know, and all the paddlers going, yeah, we've been talking to all the boys. Don't they know you're married? Oh, yeah, I said, like I told DR, just because I'm married, I ain't dead. I still like to go to parties. I'm sorry. And he goes, so you're married? And I said, yeah, I'm married. And I said, so is he. He's married, too. And he goes, oh, well, that makes it convenient, then. I always like it when both of you are married to each other. And I said, so do I.
God.
Poor little Vito. He's been having a hell of a time pulling his hair out. He's been grumpy for 3 months.
Well, it's over now, isn't it?
Yeah. He was actually talkative tonight when I called him on the phone. He talked to me for like 15 minutes tonight. Do you know how long it's been since he's been able to talk to me on the phone?
Who does he work with now?
Kevin. Rosenblum's down the hall. And then Kevin's his assistant. And then they don't have the third editor. But it's so nice.
Him and Kevin, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, Kevin's his assistant. But they're trying to get Kevin to... Kevin's been in production before. He has actually been an associate producer
before.
And they
want Kevin to take Nico's place?
That's a possibility, but it will block it. Otherwise known as who's Nixon.
So, who's going to take Nico's place?
I don't know. They'll have to see.
Some neurotic from New Jersey.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea. Somebody that could sit there and take orders and listen to what they have to say and how they want to do it. Part of the problem with this whole thing was, that how I see it, was that Ellen was not relinquishing her duties to let Victor go ahead and run it. Was feeling threatened because associate producer is supposed to run editorial. But it makes sense. Victor had an Emmy nomination. I would let him run editorial. I would let him do anything he wanted to do in editorial. They clipped his wings. They wouldn't let him do anything. There are 3 shows in trouble. He was not allowed to help on any of them. None of them.
That's changed now, though. He can be like he was before. He can edit, and the neurotics are out.
Well, it's going to happen that he is editorial, period, because Stevie's supposed to leave in February, so unless they have to look for an editor.
Rosenblum's coming back, isn't he?
I don't know what he's going to do. He wants to work, actually, features. He doesn't really want to do TV. I went and saw their house the other night.
Where is it?
Their new house. It's, you know where Beverly Glen is? It's one of those streets off of there. It's a nice little...
North or south of Sunset?
Oh, south, of course, way down. They're right off of Pico and... I know, how crass. True, cuz. But right next door is Ted Rich, who's one of the biggies at MTM. Or Lorimar or MGM. Oh, I forgot which one.
One of them.
One of those places. It all means the same to me. You know, I can never tell the difference.
MTM, MGM,
except one day, Victor was, you know, they were scoring the show last week, and I called up to talk to him, and I could hear the musicians in the background tuning up their instruments, and then, you know, it's okay to talk to Victor. I could hear him a little bit, but not too well, but, you know, I still could talk to him. The next thing you hear, all these horns blaring. So he says, I have to go. No, shit. I can't hear you at all, sweetheart. Call me when I can hear you. That was funny. That's the only part I'll miss, but...
His position is pretty,
stable, yeah. Well, see, actually, Marshall was going to ask Victor to move back to editorial, but he didn't know how to approach him because he thought he was so thrilled about being associate producer, but he really hated it. So Victor's the one... When was it? Two weekends ago or last weekend? He said, he looked at me and goes, so, what happens on Hanukkah? I was going, I can't exactly remember the story, but all I know is you light a candle and you open a present. And he goes, so if I call Marshall, it wouldn't be any great shakes? And I said, nope. So what? He never told me why I was calling Marshall. So Sunday, he looked at me and he goes, I'm calling Marshall. I want to go back to editorial. I said, okay, go ahead. So he called Marshall, and Marshall was so relieved because he wanted Aspect to move back to editorial. He's just happy he did it.
Why did he want Aspect to move back to editorial?
Because he's so unhappy with editorial staff. That they couldn't get what they wanted out of Leslie, and they couldn't get what they wanted out of Seppi. It's actually not Seppi's fault. It's kind of they needed to work with him more, but that Leslie was impossible. She's a witch. And then her assistant pulled stunts where she didn't do stuff that everybody knows assistants do, which I wouldn't know because I'm no assistant. But things like making sure that the script gets to the people doing the sound effects so that they can follow along and make certain that their sound effects are going in the right spots, that kind of thing. She totally screwed up the show that they're working on now. I don't know what number that is.
What show is being shown now?
Well, it's the one they're working on. The one they're working on is not always the one that's being shown.
No, but what one is tonight?
Tonight? I don't know.
Four? Five? Six?
This is, I don't know. We'll have to... this is the second one in the new season, but I don't know if this was really number two, how they placed it, or if it was like you said, number three, four, or five. Because they had such a hard time with it. Like, last week's wasn't supposed to be shown, even though it was supposed to be number one because it was so poorly done. It had so much wrong with it. Victor kept trying to get it corrected like a month ago, and they kept stopping and stopping, 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 stopping.
Because of her?
Because of her, because of Nixon. He didn't want him to do it. And it makes him look like an idiot, because he's the director, and you can tell where he's missed the shots. Has nothing whatsoever to do with anybody else. It's cool. But he'd cut off his nose to spite his face. That's stupid. So now Marshall's starting to realize what's going on. It's hard because the hatchet man actually in the group is Ed. Ed's the one that'll come in and he'll go ahead and say, this is what needs to be done. Okay, and he'll look at you and go, that was a stupid thing to do. Why'd you do that? You know, it makes the editor really stop and think, or makes whoever it is stop and think, the director. But Marshall kind of sit there and kind of go, well, let me see. That seemed to be okay, but I'll have to think about it. He's real wishy-washy. He's too namby-pamby. You need somebody to come in and go... So, they're kind of suffering that from that this year, not having that on there. But Marshall's having to learn how to be more assertive. Otherwise, his show's just going to go down the tubes.
Yeah.
And they can't afford that right now.
How many countries is it in, you know?
Mm-mm. All I know is Kathy saw it in France.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I forgot what it's called. Huh. Something it's about, it has to do with the bar generation.
The bar generation?
Yeah. What is it?
The bar generation? What since bar generation?
Oh, no. Poob. The pub. The pub generation. There we go.
Poob. French.
So, Kathy, they watched it in French. It's absolutely hilarious.
Oh, God.
I know. That was really funny. The poob generation.
Having in France.
That's good. I know. And they saw Mako. Did I tell you, Penny's wife?
Where?
They had dinner with her one night.
Yeah.
Kathy said, oh, yeah, supposedly Lisa's been on the diet and lost weight. She said, oh, you mean she's not so chubby? Ooh, where do I see that bitch again? Was that nasty or what?